My goodness, Ben. Absolutely wonderful. James, that was a great arrangement of that song. It was so much sweeter than Johnny Cash's version, but still had the power. Thank you, Karina. Well done. I'm going to say some more about that song in a minute. Down through the years, people have asked me, how do I come up with ideas for sermons? And I was just thinking earlier in the week, here we are today. Last week, I introduced you to Aldous Huxley's Perennial Philosophy, which is jam-packed with incredible spiritual ideas. So that's in my head there. We're also in the middle of a pandemic. Over 2 million people afflicted in the United States, according to the last statistics I found, and what was it, 109,000 dead from it, 400,000 worldwide. That's really something. We're in political turmoil. Our economy is in a mess. There's social unrest all over the place. Wonder what I could preach about. There's enough sermon material for a year right there. Oh, and mention preaching, that reminds me of a story. Many years ago when I was in the Baptist church, Southern Baptists in particular, don't usually call ministers reverend except in very formal settings. So for many years I was Brother Lawrence or Brother Palmer, and those who got really comfortable with me just called me preacher, and that worked. And there was a little boy, cutest little thing, I cannot remember his name, but I can see his face, had one tooth missing in front, must have been 5 or 6 years old, and he couldn't say preacher, so he said creature. And his mother just almost melted on the floor when she heard him call me that. And everybody, including me, encouraged him, so he thought it was cute. And so from then on, for him and some of his family, I was the creature, which was fine for me. That worked. But in preaching, it's really interesting coming up with topics and seeing all the things that are around you that bear attention. Now, I shared with you last week, I was so impressed with the Perennial Philosophy, having rediscovered it after reading it many years ago. I told you I was going to do a series of sermons out of Perennial Philosophy. And today I want to speak to you about truth. And next week, of course, is Father's Day. The next week is self-knowledge. And the next week is good and evil. And all of that is couched in a month of emphasis of well-being. So there's a lot going on there, and we'll see where it takes us. And I would remind you that the Perennial Philosophy is a body of ideas or thoughts or questions that seem to come up over and over and over again throughout all of history and across all kinds of cultural and temporal lines. And we revisit them over and over again. And I mentioned last week that the reason that these questions come up again over and over is that the succeeding generations from those who have answered the questions look at the questions and say, that's not a good enough answer. That's not really what I want to hear. That's not really what I believe. So knowing that, let's take a look at truth this morning. Now, there are basically two definitions of truth, particularly within a spiritual theological context. One is the truth as 1 + 1 = 2, where an idea or a set of words point to a fact that we all agree is true. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, right down the line. We also look at cause and effect, things that here's a cause and here's an effect, and because they go together seamlessly and seem to work, we call that true. But there's also a deeper meaning of truth, and that is the truth that connects with God, with Spirit, with Abba, with all the different names we have for God. That's what truth really means. So when we talk about truth, we're talking about ultimate reality, not something that we have created. And even with mathematics, saying that 1 + 1 = true is not entirely true, because some of you may have been afflicted, as I was, with having to learn new math in school. There was that fad that went through school, and you had base 6 and base 8 and square zeros and all kinds of weird stuff going on. So in that system, 1 + 1 didn't really equal 2. So truth is circumstantial in those situations. But the truth that we're speaking about is that ultimate truth that relates to ultimate reality, to God, if you will, to Spirit. Now, it seems like there are three particular times in life that the Perennial Philosophy shows up again. And one of those is the time of youth. Now, the song that they did earlier, the Johnny Cash song, What is Truth, was in a movie that Johnny Cash wrote called The Gospel Road. It was put out in early 70s, 73, I believe it was. And I love that movie. I haven't seen it in many years, but I remember pieces of it that so impacted me. It was about the life of Jesus, and it was full of Johnny Cash music, which was really good in and of itself. But I love the way that they portrayed Jesus. I remember one scene where Jesus and his disciples were walking through a wheat field, and they were, you know, pulling off the wheat and snacking, and they were shoving each other and pushing and jostling around and having a good time. And I thought, wow, I like that Jesus better than the one I've heard about where he sits around like this all the time. But it, to a teenager, when that came out, that was impressive. And I remember that when they went into the temple, Jesus took the temple steps two at a time. He didn't walk reverently into the temple. He was moving. And that impressed me too. And I said, I like this Jesus. I like that kind of thing. So I was in that youth category at that time, and not knowing anything all about the perennial philosophy then, not knowing about these questions that come over and over in the psyche of human beings, I was asking those questions too. And when I heard that Johnny Cash song, it just laid me out. What is truth? What a powerful statement. And for a young person, it is on one hand incredibly, incredibly profound to ask that question, try to answer it. On the other hand, it's absolutely simple, because it is, truth is God. Truth is spirit. Truth is that ultimate presence, and that's it. But you can also get very much deeper into it with theological ideas and so forth. But the youth ask those questions. What is truth? Because when the young people usually ask older people, what is truth? And they get the answer. They say, that doesn't do it for me. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem complete. That doesn't seem enough. And they go seeking for it themselves. And very often the youth seek out in the world trying to find the answer to what is truth, and they really don't find. They may find another 1 + 1 = 2 out there, but just looking around in the world, they don't find that deep truth of God's presence within us, of the Christ consciousness that is in us. So it's important that our youth now, and for any youth that are listening to this now, I encourage you to ask the question. Don't accept the pat answers of what is truth, but look for the answer yourself of what is truth. Look within yourself for that relationship, that connection, that oneness with the ground of all being, with the ultimate reality, with God's spirit, whatever word you want to use. Look within yourself for that answer. It is not in the world. It is in you. And you will come to a place of new understanding, a deeper understanding, and very likely an understanding of that truth with, as we always say, with a capital T, an uppercase T. You will come to that place of truth in a powerful way, and perhaps in a way that nobody's ever thought of before. That's the role of youth to play, is to bring new ideas into the world. So at that level of youth, that question is asked over and over, what is truth? What is truth? And it's important that the youth demand answers to that question and not let it slide by. Now, another time in life where these questions tend to come up is what we call midlife. If you've heard of a midlife crisis, some of you may have been there already. But that's the time when the questions come up as well, when someone says, okay, I've been in this career for 30 years, so what? I've been in a marriage for 30 years, and we just kind of sit there and look at each other. And I've gone to church, I've done this, I've jumped through the hoops, I've done everything right, I have a great life, but something is missing, something is not quite there. And you begin to ask that question, what is truth? What is ultimate reality? What is most important? What is it that is left when everything else goes away? And midlife is one of those times when it comes up. Now, stereotypically, midlife is a time when women change the fashion that they wear, they change their hair, things like that. I mean, men tend to get into gold jewelry and red sports cars. I told Bev earlier I had my red sports car when I was about 25, so I got my midlife crisis over early there. But this often happens, and midlife crisis is often a time of or an extramarital affair as well. That happens to people because they're asking that, they're needing an answer to that question. I can't remember who sang the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. We tend to look for the answers in all the wrong places, because the place where that question, what is truth, gets answered is in here. We need to look within, and we're not taught to do that very well. And if you don't learn that as a youth, that truth is in here, and you know what truth is, when you get to midlife and you start asking all these other questions about life in general, it comes up again, and it needs to be answered from in here. And just as with youth, those midlife individuals, it is so important that we look within ourselves and ask that question of ourselves, what is truth for me? As I shared with you last week, it's important that you have the confidence of your own judgment. And you look at the things that you see and say, this is what makes sense to me. This is what I am going to call truth. This is what truth is to me. And we can move through that time much more effectively when we find that answer for ourselves. Now, the last section that tends to come up for us is end of life, what we've called end of life. Now, I've been in ministry for a long, long time, and I've dealt with a lot of people in the process of dying and at the end of their life, and I've worked as a hospice chaplain as well, so I've had that experience of being with people when they died and being with people as they were preparing to die. And this may seem kind of insensitive to some of you, but this reminds me of a story. There was a widow and her son went to the funeral of the departed husband and father. And the minister began talking about the person who had died. He said, oh, he was a great man. He loved his family. He always wanted to provide for them. He always wanted to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, the widow stood up, grabbed her son's hand, and says, we got to get out of here. We've come to the wrong funeral. I know that may be a little bit insensitive, but you got to admit that's funny. But when we face end of life, we tend to ask a lot of questions. We tend to wonder a lot of things because when we get the sense that there's not years in front of us to worry about it then, you know, when something comes along for youth or even midlife, it's easy to say, well, I've got the rest of my life to figure this out. But when you're in a situation where you're facing the end of life, you don't have those years stretching out in front of you, and answering that question becomes incredibly important right there in that moment. And you can see a pattern developing here, just as with youth, just as with people in midlife, people at end of life need to look inside for the answer. Very often we do life reviews, and that's one technique to use with people to help them through the end of life is do a life review, to take a look at their life and see what they say was really good and what they're really not very proud of and come to peace about it. And that's a good thing to do. That helps answer some of the questions, but you still need to look deeper within yourself for those answers, because there's a truth within you that goes beyond all of reality. There's a truth in you that goes beyond all the deeds of your whole life, good or bad. There's a truth in you that is bigger than all the decisions you made along the way. And it is to that truth that we need to turn our attention, especially at end of life, when people need those answers in order to move gracefully into death. And I've seen people who have died without that answer, and I've seen people who died with that answer, and I certainly want for me and for you to die with that answer, because it is not pleasant to see people to enter eternity with uncertainty. So when you come to that place, look within yourself and know that truth is in you. It is not somewhere else. Nobody else has that answer of what is truth. You do, and you have that for yourself. It's there. It's always been there. Always will be there. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added. That's something of a paraphrase there, but seek first the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that happens to young people is they don't often seek first the answer to what is truth in a spiritual dimension, and in here, they look elsewhere. Same thing in midlife. We don't usually seek first the answers from within us. We seek it from outside. And even at end of life, very often, we don't seek first the answer here, but somewhere else or somebody else's idea. But to say that we need to seek first the kingdom of God means that we need to look within for that answer of what is true. Seek first within to answer that question, because that is where the ultimate authority lies. That is where the ultimate answer lies to what is truth. That is within us. When I mentioned a moment ago about all the things that we're in the middle of this, in the middle of the pandemic, when we're asking questions about why did this happen? How does this happen? What do we do about it? How do I feel about it? How do I understand this? I would say to you, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first what is truth within yourself. When we're looking at the political turmoil in our country right now, instead of looking at history and looking at all kinds of different things there and getting all upset about it, seek first the answer, what is truth in here? When we're looking at economic instability and we're frightened by what we see there, what happens if we seek first the kingdom of God, seek first the truth within ourselves, and then look at the economic turmoil, the social unrest, the violence, the discrimination, the death, all that's involved in that? How do we understand that? Seek first the truth within yourself, and then look at the social unrest. And with the idea of well-being, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the truth in here, and then look at well-being. So we see that as all of these things come up, and as we are in the midst of all of this swirling around us and so many things demanding our attention, what if we were able to seek first, before we start running around out there looking for answers, before we start talking to people about this, before we get all ramped up ourselves about things that ought not to be the way they are, let us look first for the truth that is already in us. We don't have to make that truth within us. We don't really have to find it. We just have to open to it. To be able to say, here I am. And let the truth rise up from within you. Not from out there, but in here. In every situation, when we face challenging situations, when we face frightening situations, when we face situations that make us angry, when we have to deal with violence in one way or the other, let us seek first the truth that is in ourselves and then look at all these situations, because you see it with those eyes that are strong and clear. When we look at violence, when we address violence with violence, when we address fear with fear, when we look at instability from instability, it just makes it worse. It makes it compounded. So if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we seek first the truth that is in us, and then look out into the world, then deal with these situations, it'll be a different outcome there for us and for everybody around us. So I invite you to take with you during this week the idea of seeking first the truth in you, and then looking out in the world, and then sharing with others. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be taken care of. God bless you, my friends.
And one of the things we do here at Unity of Pompano is not leave you hanging. Next Sunday, after our 11 a.m. celebration service at 12:30 is Sunday sessions. Every second Sunday, you have that opportunity through a Zoom meeting that is absolutely no cost to you to spend some time speaking with Reverend Lawrence about things that just come up for you from the services. If you need some clarification on what he says, or you have something to express that came up for you, Sunday sessions is that opportunity to do it. We also have our Thursday night meditation time, which always begins with sharing and always has, or the opportunity to share, just the opportunity to check in and say hi. But there are always chaplains on that call who would be there to help with any questions that you might have as you seek that truth within. Certainly our classes here and Power Hour are more opportunities. So take advantage of taking the ideas from Sunday morning into your heart, into your quiet times, into your meditations, and continue to bring forth that spirit of love and joy and peace and compassion that is within each and every one of us. So now is our time that we celebrate giving. And as you think about members here who know where you usually sit in the congregation, in the wherever your chair might be or your row, you think about the ushers passing the plate. And we thank you so much for continuing to give. Our members know what it takes to operate Unity of Pompano. And I'm so very pleased that you and our friends and those joining us for the very first times are continuing to donate whatever you can give. And you know what? We finished up looking at the numbers for the month of May. And yes, this is a financial operation, but we operate on God principle. We operate on the principle of giving and thanksgiving. So with great gratitude, I tell you that once again, we broke even for this month by cutting back on our expenses. Even though we have no rentals during this period of time, you have made it possible for us to meet all our expenses. So deepest gratitude for that. Won't you think of your giving right now? And let's hold that giving in prayer, as we know that it is the impulse of divine love that flows through you. And as we have that impulse of love within us, we dedicate ourselves to giving financially, but also prayerfully, and reaching out and communicating with loved ones, with friends, and adding our peaceful presence to the United States and the world. And so it is. Amen.